The OTB Podcast Network.
Whether you're from Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sion in Waterford, this is what it's all about.
And get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
Okay, so we're here to celebrate the latest chapter in the 20 by 20 movement, which has been a huge success over the last number of years. And we've got a brilliant prize to let you know about. To do all of that, we're joined by a 20 by 20 ambassador, former Republic of Ireland international, Mayo footballer, Collingwood footballer as well. Sarah Rowe, great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Good now. Thanks for having me.
Did I see you're down Ballina Way, Enniscrone Beach Way over the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's unbelievable down there now. I'm blessed to have all that stuff on my doorstep.
My grandparents are from there, so I know it well. You're in Liam McHale, David Brady territory.
Yes, just down the road from them.
Enniscrone is one of the great beaches.
Oh, it's honestly heaven. I actually think it's probably my favourite place in the world. Like, it's that nice, and especially on a sunny day. But I'm down there every day for a dip in the sea, even with this weather.
And then straight to the arcade and the slot machines.
And then for a 99 and happy days.
So what's the story? Obviously, COVID has interrupted all our lives. AFLW season was continuing and ongoing, and then it's cancelled, fly home. Is that the gist?
Yeah, it was fast forwarded to the semi-finals, and then we played a semi-final on a Saturday, and then the season was called off on a Sunday. So it was all up in the air for kind of a week or two leading into that, so we kind of knew what direction it was going, but like anyone, you couldn't really predict all that has went on. So flights were being cancelled, then they were being rebooked and then cancelled again, and so I managed to get home. So I've been home since the end of March and just been at home in Mayo since, so it's been nice to have that time with family and friends.
Yeah, I'm sure. And was there any temptation or any need to stay out in Australia? Probably not, especially once the season was over.
Not really, but I was actually studying while I was over there. I'd finished my degree and what I wanted to do, so I was studying life coaching and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis. So I'd finished my degree, but there was one or two other bits that I kind of wanted to tidy up on, but they were like, I was going to set up a website and stuff, but I've actually got someone to help me with that in Ireland now, so it was fine, it all worked out. But that was kind of the thing that was holding me there for another few weeks, but obviously everything got cancelled and any of the things that I wanted to do were cancelled anyway, so I got home then and I was happy enough to get home in the end.
Okay, NLP and hypnosis, fascinating. So what's attracted you to that world?
So about 4 years ago, I went to a life coach myself. Now, I'd been to like numerous sports psychologists and stuff, and we've had loads, like in Collingwood, we've had sports psychologists and all that, and I've always found that side of things really interesting, because I do believe that, you know, you train your body to be a certain way to perform on like a certain day, but you also need to train your mind to be a certain way to be able to, you know, deal with setbacks and, you know, deal with things that come up along the way in your career. So I found that an invaluable, I suppose, tool for me, going to that life coach. She was just one of the, you know, when you just meet someone, you're like, that person just works for me. And we built a relationship, and, you know, I checked in with her little and often, and she was just instrumental, I suppose, in helping me to think a certain way. And, you know, I'm the only person I can control is me, and just her perspective on things, and just kind of being a bouncing board for, you know, any thoughts or anything that I wanted to bounce off her. So I was like, I actually really want to learn more about this. I was always very intrigued, and I always loved like communication and good relationships with people in my team, and, you know, asking questions and kind of coming from a curious point of view, like a non-judgmental kind of just what's going on, like, because, you know, we all come from such different places and different things work for different people. I was always interested in that. So when I went on to study it, I was like, I really want to be able to help others as well. And so I started taking on clients the last 3 weeks, and I took on a few when I was in Australia as well. So it's been great, and I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. So it's nice to have, you know, some sort of passion that's outside of sport as well, but also helps with sport too.
Wow. So how might your thinking around a game or a certain occasion differ now as opposed to before you met this person who had the impact on you?
Well, like, you know, we talk about the subconscious mind a lot, and like, I think of the way I think of that is like, you know, it's nearly two different types of people. Like, you know, the voice in your head that says, no, you can't run, like, this is too hard, like, stop. And then the other part of your head that's like, Sarah, you're well able, like, keep going, like, you know, you're better than that kind of thing. So it's like, you know, there's nearly two people in your head. So it's like kind of having conversations with that person is like, that's what I've learned over studying NLP. It's all about the subconscious mind, and, you know, we control how we think. So, you know, leading up to a game or whatever, like, you know, we can't help that certain thoughts might come into our head, but we actually can control how we deal with them. And, you know, the way we think will determine how we act, and then that'll determine how we feel. So I'm in control of me. So I know that now. And like, it, you know, it's taken time to kind of figure it out, talk out loads of things and kind of figure out who I am and like what my values are, what I believe. And, you know, we're in a world full of so much information, and, you know, our views sometimes can be skewed by the environment we're surrounded by, or like maybe the values we might have picked up from our parents. So I suppose I found out who I was throughout it all, and I suppose what I actually stood for. And, you know, it helps me stay really true to myself all the time when I'm making decisions. So I'm not making decisions for others, I'm making it for myself. And so it just made me become much more self-aware.
Okay. So maybe small example, you're out playing for Collingwood, we're in the midst of your second season, you've got a big game against a very good team, and voice in your head naturally enough says, Sarah, you're not really up for this. This is a sport you've only been playing for 2 years. You're going to get trampled at the weekend. It's a perfectly natural thought. We all have, you know, negative bias in that respect. What do you do with that thought then?
So like I talk to myself in my head, and I'd be like, I'd kind of have a laugh at myself, and I'd be kind of like, nice one, like, fair play to you trying to trick me there, but not working this time kind of thing. So it's like, I kind of like, you know, I acknowledge the thought, and I'm kind of like, thanks for the thought, but no, thank you. That's not what I truly believe myself. So kind of get lost kind of thing. So it's kind of like an interesting one. Like, I've tried a few things on a few of the girls on my team who were struggling with confidence issues and stuff, and I got them to come, we had a chat and we went through a few things. And then one of the girls said in particular that she, you know, as soon as she's told that she's picked on the team, she literally goes, oh my God, like, I'm a fraud. Like, why am I picked? Like, I'm definitely not good enough for this level. Like, I can't do this. So I was like, challenge that voice, and like, you know, think of it as kind of like a different person, and say to yourself, kind of laugh at it and say, no, sorry, nice trying out today, but no, I'm not having any of you kind of thing. I'm going to think the way I believe that I know I can. And she was like, as soon as he told her she was picked for the starting team that weekend, it just straight away, you're a fraud. And then she straight away went, no, sorry now, but thanks for that, but I'm moving on. And she's like, completely changed my week. She did the best performance of her life that week. And she was like, it sounds so small and so trivial, but it's so powerful.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of people are interested in this whole area, and CBT works along similar lines as well. You know, challenge the logic of some of our crazier thoughts. Hypnosis, though, is, I mean, I'm sure you're getting some wry looks down Ballina way when you say hypnosis. I mean, so people's understanding of hypnosis is up on stage, crowd are laughing because someone from the audience thinks the chair is now an elephant.
Yeah, so maybe I'm brainwashing you here and you don't even know.
I do feel dizzy.
But no, it's like, yeah, it's all about, for me, it's not like, what I studied is not about the whole woo up on stage kind of thing, I'm going to make you do crazy stuff. It's more about habit change and, like, you know, getting people off cigarettes or like alcohol. And, you know, I sometimes do self-hypnosis before I go to bed at night. It helps me sleep, and, you know, it helps me, I suppose, train my brain again to think a certain way. So it's been a really good tool, and I was more so intrigued about it, and I wanted to learn about it. And but it's more so about habit forming and habit changing, and that's why it's kind of relevant to 2020, because it's all about the small things that you do often in order to change the way you think.
Yes, and I do want to get onto that. You're going to be an interesting mentor for somebody, I realize. We're going to give an Off the Ball listener a chance for you to mentor them for the next 3 weeks. How does self-hypnosis work? Like, you're not swinging a little clock in front of your eyes, I presume.
No. So, like, I might be reading a certain script of stuff that I say want to do over the next while, and like, it's nearly like affirmations kind of thing, and I'd be reading that maybe like 15 times before I go to bed. And then I find myself waking up and like I'm going to the toilet or get a glass of water or something, that like it just kind of rings in my head, and the next day I can just hear it kind of filtering through my head throughout the day. So it's just it's an interesting one, but it definitely does work. You know, and also it depends as well on the buy-in of the person. And like if someone comes to me and says I want you to help me with, you know, becoming more active or changing my habits, like I will do tests on them to figure out how much they actually want to change. If you don't want to change, you know, you're coming to the wrong person. Like if you want to, if you're open and honest to change, you know, I can help you. But if you really are just coming for, you know, sure, I'll go to this person and you will see what it's all about kind of thing, like that's not going to work for you either. So it has to be your buy-in as well. But if I felt that you weren't buying in, say from the start, I'd say, you know, maybe you're at the wrong person.
Well, I've no doubt. Like, I mean, look, a percentage of people will be listening with their arms crossed saying, not for me, you know, mumbo jumbo, not for me. But so that's amazing that you have some clients already. You're at that stage. Is this something you could see yourself continuing 10, 20, 30 years into the future?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's definitely my passion. Like it's 100%. I know what I want to do now, which I never thought I'd say I'd have a passion that was outside of football. It was always just sport for me. And I suppose I did teaching in college, and I just, you know, I didn't enjoy the whole teaching kids. I enjoyed kind of figuring out about kids and, you know, coming, like, again, asking loads of questions to kind of see where they all came from. So I always found myself like being more interested in the mind rather than the kind of teaching side of things. So yeah, for me, I've taken on a few clients the last few weeks, and yeah, it's been so enlightening for me, and I've really enjoyed it. And you know, it's very rewarding as well when you can see change in people and people are really buying into, you know, the whole thing. So it's definitely what I'm going to do going forward, and I'm going to continue to work and keep learning it.
Yeah, well, I can see the link with teaching. So it's not so much the forcing a kid to learn Macbeth over and over, but it's the helping someone that attracts you, that buzz that people get. It's why so many people love coaching and love teaching, is when they see that somebody has, you know, a spark has gone off or they've improved someone's life. It's there's an amazing buzz in that.
Oh yeah, such a buzz. Like when, yeah, like that with kids and being involved, I wouldn't enjoy the whole coaching kids again, like even football. People say, will you be a football coach when you're older? I'm like, no, but I'd love to be involved with the team in terms of like team culture, leadership, like standards, like making sure all them things in the background are right, because I think that's what makes a successful team. Obviously you need to have good players and, you know, talent and all that, but I think culture, mindset and all that can go a very long way as well in helping a team get to where they need to be. So definitely that's another area I'd like to look into going forward.
Okay, great. People watching will see you're in your 20 by 20 t-shirt. So the latest chapter in the 20 by 20 movement, and it has been an amazing success from, you know, this small movement. And I think everybody in the country is familiar with it. So the theme this year is about participation, probably very apt amidst COVID, where people have, it's based on the numbers and the surveys, started doing more exercise themselves. So no proving, just moving is the tagline. The prize that we're giving away here and Off the Ball is a pretty cool one. 3 weeks of mentoring from you, effectively. So no pressure. So OTB listeners, Sarah Rowe can mentor you for 3 weeks. The thinking being 21 days is what it takes to form a habit. So if you want to get involved, to enter is very simple. Just send a 10-second video telling us why you need the help. So whatever reason you want, 10-second video, short and sweet. You can tweet it to @OffTheBall. If you don't necessarily want to put it up on Twitter, then that is absolutely fine as well. You can WhatsApp it. So the number to send it to is 087-9180-180. 087-9180-180. And that is all part of 20 by 20, no proving, just moving. And you're going to mentor them. Excellent. I mean, that's a different prize. It's better than giving away a t-shirt. That's cool.
Yeah, 100%. I'd love that. I'd love to, like I said, work with people and figure it all out and listen to, I suppose, how they get on with the transition of making a new habit. Because, you know, we all start with no habits at the start, and we all have to start building different ones all the time. So even for me, like I write down things every night, and that wasn't a habit that I was always into, but it's one that I formed. So, you know, there's always things that you can do to better yourself, and I think definitely being physically active and just giving yourself that time and space to yourself, or also viewing exercise in a different light, like, you know, seeing it as leisure or like going to meet a friend for a coffee, like just viewing exercise, not viewing exercise as vigorous, but viewing it as something that you're kind of doing for yourself to be a better version of yourself and give a better version of yourself to all the people around you.
Great. Well, listen, I'm sure there'll be huge interest. Again, that WhatsApp number, 0879-180-180, or you can tweet us at Off The Ball, just a 10-second video, and we'll pick out a winner, and we'll keep tabs as well, I think, on the radio is the plan over the next 3 weeks. So that is the latest chapter in the 20 by 20 movement. And not to confuse you all, but equally, if you're interested, little.ie/20by20, there's a questionnaire there, which if you're not sporty, you're not sure what might suit you, there's a questionnaire which might give you an idea what activity suits you best. Because for a lot of people, not just young girls, but boys as well, unless you play soccer or ga or hurling or maybe rugby in certain schools, a lot of the time for our generation, well, actually, sorry, I'm a good deal older than you, but growing up, that was the menu. So if you weren't good at one of those three sports, you could quickly think, sport's not for me.
Yeah, definitely. I gave an example earlier about my cousin who said to me over quarantine, he said, thanks for giving me the confidence to go for a run. And I was like, interesting that you say confidence. And he said, yeah, because I was never sporty growing up. So I never thought that, like, you know, I was nearly entitled to it. I was kind of like, wow, that's a very interesting perspective. I never saw it like that. So it does show that the perception around it is that you have to be sporty to exercise. That is definitely not what it's about. You know, it's not always a competition. It's, you know, just something you're doing to kind of help yourself physically and more so mentally, and how much you can have a rippling effect on the rest of your day.
Yeah, for sure. To wrap this up and check in on you and the career. So, look, I mean, it's kind of amazing to have played international football, played for the Mayo Footballers, and now this adventure over in Australia that you're in your second season of. Melbourne, Collingwood, you were Irish Player of the Year. I think there's 16 Irish players out there at the moment, and you were voted Irish Player of the Year into your second season. That would suggest you're getting to grips with this thing. What aspects of the game are you pretty good at and took to pretty quickly? What aspects of the game are you still grappling with?
I think I get frustrated with the whole, like, the structures and the way you nearly have to stay in the position that you're in. Like, you know how Gaelic football is much more off the cuff. You can kind of move and see fit and go with your instinct. Whereas, you know, if you're not playing, you have to play your role always in AFL. And, you know, I'm a winger, so I nearly have to stay on one side of the pitch all the time. But I see space over there, I'm like, I want to go there, but I can't. So things like that is very frustrating for me. And but I think in terms of, I suppose, I've just worked really hard on, you know, physically and, you know, running wise and fitness wise and all that, and made sure I was in the best position possible in terms of that side of things, because I knew that I had so much to learn. And then I suppose for me, I always look for questions, I always look for answers, I'm always trying to learn. And I think that's the thing, I look to grow all the time. And I'd say my coach, I had his head wrecked, but I was always asking questions every day, because otherwise, you know, you just kind of, you can presume you know, but like they see the sport a completely different way to the way we do. And I have to remember that it's not Gaelic football I'm playing. And even though I might see it a certain way, that's not the way they see it. So it's important that I understand all that side of things as well. So as long as I ask questions all the time and keep learning, you know, I'll be on a good path.
You cover more ground in AFLW.
Yeah, you would. Probably it's a lot more stop start though, as in, like, you wouldn't be, you know, you're more endurance kind of runner, you're like constantly on the move kind of thing, but you're, you know, you're not, it's not the fast twitch kind of stuff that Gaelic football is. So when you come home, then it's important that you understand your transition phase of training. And that's something I would have learned after the first year. I would have approached, like, even now through lockdown, I've approached my training in a different manner than I would have last year. I would have kind of thought, I'm coming home, I'm fit, I'm strong, but it was a different type of fitness, and I needed a transition phase. So now I've been lucky enough to have enough people around me to help support me and all that.
So, like, professionalism, pros and cons?
Oh, I don't really see the cons, to be honest. I think there's a lot of pros. It's yeah. Pardon the pun, but
yeah. Number one, money.
That there's, you know, you've all the people around you and that you need in order to excel in anything you want to do. And, you know, there's that real, like I said, the growth mindset, like, you know, what you want to do even when you finish playing sport and where do you want to go? So there's always that kind of opportunity. And if you want to put yourself out to, you know, be faster or be stronger, just go to someone in the office, someone can help you. So there's always, and there's that interlink as well between the men's and the women's. And like, you know, one of the men's coaches will be like, I'd be like, oh, I'm struggling with this area of my game. Like, come on, we'll go out and have a kick. And you always have that as well. So you support all over the place and, you know, really educated people in the game around you to help you, and just constant resources. So the resources, the facilities, the, I suppose, the leadership side of things, you know, the way they teach you, the type of people they want you to be and how they teach you to work extremely hard, and, you know, the culture of the club and all that. It's all really interesting learning.
Okay, so this is not just a token, let's have a women's department kind of a team. Because I was reading the like the grand final last year got 53,000 people at it. The highest attendance this year was 35,000. You've jumped even just in this, in your 2 years there from 10 teams to 14 teams. People not realize, might not realize, you know, all this is going on. So this sounds like it's gathering real momentum.
Yeah, no, it really is. And like Ireland, they're pushing standards all the time, and it's like, even from the ground roots up, there's like, you know, the girls that are coming into the setup now, you know, they can kick with both feet, they're like really talented, and they've been taught from a really young age. So the standard is only going to get better, and it's going to, I suppose, make it harder and early for Irish girls to come in and slot in, because the standards will have risen. But even in the last 2 years, it's just definitely getting much more competitive.
How does your striking of the ball compare to a player who's been playing for 15 years?
The kick isn't too bad. It's kind of like more so the bounce of the ball, I find. And also like getting in under the ball and getting really low, because obviously the ball can go either direction. But you actually learn to kind of be able to judge that as well. But the kicking thing is probably Gaelic footballer's strengths over there, definitely. Mm-hmm. But like some of them obviously are like really natural at it, but like not everyone is. But you know, you're always taught to use both sides of your body as well. And this, like I said, there's always people there to kind of help you get better if you have a weakness in some area.
So you have a decision to make, really. I'm sure you're being asked about this a lot. To Peter Lee, the Mayo manager, has, I think he came back last year and played, and it, things are a bit up in the air now because of COVID. So GAA season has been pushed to later this year, probably into potentially pre-season territory for Collingwood. Mm-hmm. So that's a decision. But then regardless, I saw Lahey had said, you know, from 2021, we just don't want players doing both. You know, if you're here for the year, you're playing, you can't just come back towards the end of the league, which is, I think, what you and the other players would have to do when the Australian season finishes up. So long story short, it doesn't sound, certainly when once Peter Lai's involved, it doesn't sound like you'll be able to juggle the two. And I know Mayo means a lot to you as well. So when do you have to decide what you're doing, and what are your thoughts?
So I have to decide between the 1st and 17th of August, but as of now, it's just because of travel restrictions and all that, it's like still very much so up in the air from kind of both sides. So it's like, I can't really, I suppose, until something is actually placed in front of me, like I can't make any decision. I'm very much a person like that. Until it hits me in the face, I would barely think about it. So as of now, I'm just kind of focusing, I suppose, on my club first, and then focusing next on Mayo, and we'll see after that.
And what, like, I understand it from Peter Lai's point of view. Is it Leahy or Lahey? Excuse me. Yeah, I'm half committing to that each time. I half
hate that now.
Peter Leahy. My apologies. I do understand where he's coming from. You know, I think four Mayo forwards are over there: Aileen Gilroy and the Kelly sisters, Niamh and Grace, and you. So I do understand him saying, well, like, I can't have a league campaign and then four players swan back in, and potentially there's other girls who've been playing and suddenly they're not playing. So I get his perspective. Do you feel it's reasonable, unreasonable? Have you spoken?
No,
about it.
I absolutely understand his perspective as well. Like, you know, we had a conversation as well. It's you know, there was the communication lines are very much so open, and I completely understand it. Like, it's hard for the girls, and even yourself. Like, you don't feel great coming back into a team that's already developed and formed, and especially bringing on younger players as well. You want to encourage them and you want to get the best out of them, and you don't want them, us, to come back and then to feel in any way intimidated to not push for their spots as well. So, you know, you have to look after all the girls in the team, and, you know, whatever's best for Mayo is best for us, and, you know, that's the way I look at it. So, I do completely understand, and at the end of the day, he has to do his job, and whatever is best for Mayo is, you know, I trust that that's what he'll do.
Yeah, I mean, not up to me. I'm thinking pro sport, Australia, Melbourne. That's what I'd be picking.
Yeah, you'd be like, it's a lovely life and everything. It's not the same as, like, you know, you love being at home as well with your family as well. So, like, there's pros and cons to both sides of it all. And, you know, I think going forward, there will have to be a decision to be made, because the demands of both sports will be a small bit greater, I think, every year. So, it's just whether, you know, you make the decision of what you really want. And that's the decision I have to make.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough. You're giving up something probably very special to you either way. So listen, I've kept you for enough time. Thanks so much. Again, the 2020 by Movement, the latest chapter of it is kicking off here. The tagline, the theme is "No Proving, Just Moving." And if people want to be mentored by you for 3 weeks, they can send a 10-second video in. They can tweet it at Off The Ball. They can WhatsApp at 0879-180-180 and get involved that way. Sarah Rowe, thanks a million. Much appreciated.
Thanks a million, Joe.